let me lead. I was a goddamn born natural leader.
Okay. You know what I mean? Well, then how about we try again? You want to do the intro?
Sure. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. My name's Tim, and as always, I have Joshua Holiday here with me. How are you doing, Josh?
Hi, guys. I'm the guest today.
Yeah, he's the guest. Well, real quick before we get into what we're going to be talking about today, last podcast we talked about trying to play a game, 6 Degrees of Separation. It's a game that me and Holiday have played for a really long time. We've evolved it into different types of games.
Several years now.
We just have a lot of fun playing it, and all it is based on movie knowledge. All it truly is. Truly is. Ugh, I can't speak right now. It's a game based off of one that was created a long time ago called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Essentially, the joke is Kevin Bacon's been in so many films that you can connect any actor to Kevin Bacon through the films that they have done in less than 6 moves. A move being a movie. That's the whole move. It's or a relationship of some sort. They used to do it with different things like directors and kind of stuff. But now we play the game of actors only. That's how we play it.
Actors to movie, movie to actor.
To give you a quick example, Holiday, can you throw out an actor for me?
Kevin Spacey.
Okay, so Kevin Spacey, I'm going to throw out something like Dennis Quaid, okay?
Okay.
So the whole entire game is connecting Dennis Quaid to Kevin Spacey, okay? Which can be done in a number of different ways, number of different moves, and you just kind of think about it yourself, which ways are the best ways to go about it. And the whole entire purpose of this game is to see how connected these character or these actors are in as little moves as possible. So to give you a quick example on this one with Kevin Spacey to Dennis Quaid,
trying to think.
I got to think of it off the top of my head, which is kind of frustrating. I don't know why I said Dennis Quaid.
We can think about it out loud real quick. Just as an example. Okay, because I was trying to go from Dennis Quaid. So I was trying to go for a broad amount of people in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got to was Dennis Quaid was in movie 43.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have plenty of actors to choose from. Mm-hmm. And then I went from Hugh Jackman and I was like, okay, Hugh Jackman and Kevin Spacey. And then I immediately went to Kevin Spacey was in Superman Returns because it's a superhero movie. And then I was like, well, I messed up, you know? So I already scrapped that. And then I go back into my head. And really, I'm just trying to speak so you can be thinking about this because I know you're thinking about it.
Yeah. So essentially what I got out of it is I kind of go the opposite way. Kevin Spacey, although he is an actor that's been in quite a bit of movies,
yep.
I kind of want to get away from him into somebody that's a little bit more broader, somebody that I know a lot more. So I use a movie like K-Pax. Kevin Spacey was in K-Pax with Jeff Bridges. So Jeff Bridges is an actor that I know quite a bit about that gets me into a lot of different facets. Using movie 43 with Dennis Quaid on the opposite side of that, I can use Dennis Quaid to, I just had it for a second and then it just dropped out of my brain.
Halle Berry.
No, it wasn't Halle Berry. Jeff Bridges has been in a movie with somebody that was in 43.
Oh, really?
Had to have been, right? Somewhere.
Somewhere?
Somewhere. One of them. There's plenty of them.
Well, he was in RIPD with Ryan Reynolds. And Ryan Reynolds was in X-Men Origins Wolverine with Hugh Jackman. Boom.
Which he was with Dennis Quaid. So that's what? So
4 moves?
K-Pax, RIPD, Wolverine, movie 43. 4 moves.
Yeah, 4 moves.
So essentially that's how the game works, okay? And what we're going to be doing here is we are going to try and we're going to come up with 2 actors, you know, to get them as close together as possible. You guys at home who are listening to the podcast, we hope you give it an effort. Try and see if you can either beat what we did. I mean, even right here, right now, with Dennis Quaid to Kevin Spacey, I am positive
there's a shorter route to go.
And if you can figure it out, let us know. And yeah, like Holiday said in the last episode, he'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, so if you go to our Facebook page, you just look up Real Underrated on Facebook. You'll find our logo on there. Go to our Facebook page. Tell us how you got there. And I'll give you a shout out on the next one if you are shorter than Tim or I on your answer. So we're going to do that at the end of the show. Right now, we're going to talk about some movies.
Yeah. There's something I wanted to talk about today. And it's actually a really interesting topic that I think has kind of been put down because it's just so lowbrow. But have you thought about how people like to quote great writers over the years of, you know.
Yeah, and then they put it on their shitty Instagram post. Yeah.
You know, there's stuff like that. Or, you know, they use it in conversational, you know, like so-and-so said this. Mark Twain said blah, 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 or whatever.
Right.
I think movie references should be just as impactful as, say, those writers were.
They are for meme culture.
Not just meme culture, but for, you know, talking. You know, why is it so bad when I say, you know, Aaron Eckhart in Dark Knight, you know, you either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. It's a great line. Even though it's not even directly from Christopher Nolan, it's actually from the comic series, the Dark Knight series.
Oh, I did not know that.
It is still something that is an impactful line that we all know, and I feel like it gives a lot of meaning to different things. You and I use movie references all the time.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, our everyday conversation is 50% movie references.
We speak in movie references.
Right.
And the way that we use it, understandably, is a little bit lowbrow.
The way that we use, yeah, because we're using, like, basically inside jokes because we talk about movies that nobody's ever seen before, and we're over here quoting stupid stuff. Or heck, even the I'm not usually the Herald.
Right.
It's from a YouTube video from 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
And it was a 2-second clip, and it means nothing to anybody.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's literally these small things that just are funny to us.
Right.
You know, it's just stuff we throw out. I mean, Take Me Home Tonight is a great example for us because Barry Nathan in the movie, or played by Dan Fogler, was super hilarious.
And quotable.
And very quotable. I mean, you hop off a banana boat, like...
Okay, you hop off a banana boat?
Yeah. Like, stuff like that.
Make a right!
Sorry.
I didn't go to drink all day and party all night college like you twin bastards did.
Right.
Tonight, I'm making up.
And you see, this is how quotable these things are for us because the movies are so much more real to us, you know? And the movies are art. And art is an interpretation of life. And
you're getting deep with this shit.
Right. I put a lot of thought into it. And with art being an interpretation of life, there should be no problem with us throwing a fucking movie quote into a conversation and not being looked
right,
at like some peasant.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
shit.
They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, okay, it's a movie quote. And they're like, well, that's stupid. I'm like, even with my girlfriend, I'll say something and she's like, what is that from? And I'll tell her and she's like, that's stupid. I'm like, okay, shit, make me feel bad.
But anyway, I wanted to open this up, having this conversation about it, because I wanted to ask you, what do you think some of the most important movie quotes of all time really are?
Well, they're definitely going to be from award-winning movies, I would assume, or epic movies. I'll be back. I'm sure someone's gone to say just the words "I'll be back" and then been like, "Oh, I can say that like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back."
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's another thing too that I really notice is with me saying, you know, art is nothing but an imitation of life, the movies being a form of art.
Right.
There are so many times in our lives where we have the opportunity to react a certain scene from a movie where it's a famous line. I'll give you a great example.
And it's usually something simple.
I'll give you a great example. I was at work the other day and
you were at work?
I was at work and some server came up to me to just talk. And then they started bitching to me about like not having a certain thing. And they were like, they were looking at me like I was going to comfort them or something like that. And I looked at them and I said, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And I walked away and I felt great about it because, you know, I love throwing a movie line out there.
It's a really old movie.
I get it. But still, it is. I still throw out
right,
stuff like that all the time.
It still works. Yeah. Now I'm not going to remember the quote, but it was Brittany Murphy in Sin City. Oh, God. What does she say? She's at the window. Give me a second. You keep talking.
I'll give you another one that I use quite often, and you use it too. It is it's from The Big Lebowski. I quote The Big Lebowski all the time. It's just one of my favorite movies.
If you say the George W. or the George Bush quote, it's not really from the movie. It's from
this
George
aggression
Bush.
Will not stand. No, I was gonna go what you say all the time,
just
playing
like your
playing
opinion.
Your playing your Walter. No, not the opinion. It'd be like, I'm calmer than you are, dude.
Yeah,
calmer than you are,
dude.
Yeah, and it's always great to throw it out there because it's just so infuriating to hear.
It's great.
It's upsetting. But I mean, for me, Big Lebowski is a super quotable movie. Has a lot of things that you throw out there.
I think she says you're a fool. You're a damn fool. God, what is it? Here, keep going. I'm sorry. I'm talking out loud.
Yeah, you're fine.
Or thinking out loud.
You know, The Dude Abides is a great little tidbit. But to be fair, we're also throwing things out that are much more circumstantial. It's not like I'm going to be having a conversation with somebody and just throw up, oh, well, you know, it's like the dude said, the dude abides. Like, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I hit things.
All right. Here it is real quick.
Go right ahead.
Because this was like, it was almost like a callback to like Casablanca era type mm-hmm. things. But yeah, here it is real quick. What? I like how it doesn't even have that clip. There it is. It's just the cheesiest thing ever.
Casablanca is another one that you could talk about with quotes. I mean, here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah.
We'll always have Paris.
But you have the here's looking at you, kid. Mm-hmm. Quotable line. Doesn't really make sense grammatically. Right?
Right.
Here's looking at you, kid. The fuck does that mean? All right?
Maybe you got a good point.
No, you know what's a good quote? Childhood quote. All right? You people remember this quote. God damn it. Now I'm like, Sandlot, right? Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth. Legends never die. Right? When he's going back into
heroes
the closet.
Heroes get remembered.
Yeah, heroes legends, get remembered. Legends never die.
Actually, that quote is very impactful to me. Because
it's a great quote.
I like the end of it because the whole quote is heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Follow your heart, kid, and you never go wrong. And I feel like it's a very super impactful just idea on who you are as a person and what you want to become. And your heart leads you to what you are. You know, people fail. I mean, this is going to Endgame over here for a second, but people fail all the time at being the person they should be as opposed to being the person
they're meant to be.
Right.
And instead of just being who, you know, living for themselves.
Right. I feel like it's a super impactful quote and I love its death.
No, it's great. And I mean, to put it in a kid's movie, you know what I mean? Like it's almost like a line that you can just kind of throw away. But, you know, if you look back at it, it's a great line that they put in a kid's movie.
And I mean, I'm trying to think of some other very impactful quotes.
You just got to believe.
It could happen.
Yeah, it could happen. Yeah, dude. He's like, come on, Roger. It could happen. Mm-hmm. Look, it's God's thumbnail. Like, I love that little kid, dude. Yeah,
I know you do. I'm not a big fan of Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield is a great movie. I do not condone the entire series. You know, they did a whole bunch of different ones. Angels in the Outfield was a great family movie for its time.
Okay.
Dude, I love it. Dude, it's the first experience I had with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. All right. That started my JGL love. Okay. I wouldn't have seen Treasure Planet if it wasn't for that movie. I didn't know who JGL was. And then I saw that and I was like, this is him. This is amazing. I love this.
You really wouldn't have seen Treasure Planet?
No, I didn't have any interest in it besides the fact that JGL was the lead character.
Honestly, I had no idea that he was the character in it.
Oh, yeah.
I went to go see Treasure Planet. So, I mean, yeah, I was young at the time and I just.
Yeah, and it looked cool.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and it looked
I'd
cool.
Read the book about.
Oh, see, I've never read a book. I'm sorry. I've read a book.
Explains quite a bit, ladies and
obviously,
gentlemen.
I've read a book, you know, read the dictionary, right? It's a book.
Right. You like to get a mental workout on, too.
Well, there's my clip. You know, actually, this brings up a thing. So there's a reason I have a movie podcast. I don't like books, and I will put that out straight out. I don't like books. When we have to, when we used to have to do the AR reading, what is that? What does that stand for?
Accelerated reader.
Accelerated reader.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's stupid. Okay. When we had to do the AR reading, I thought it was the dumbest stuff, and I would just guess the question, because it was only like 10 questions.
Oh, yeah.
Except for like Harry Potter, when it was like 20 questions. It's like, hey, the book's thicker, you get more questions. And I'm like, fuck. But I used to read Harry Potter. That's the only reason I got into Harry Potter, because they were worth the most points. You could read three a year and get all your AR points, and it was great. So I actually read Harry Potter, but there was other books I would have to, you know, I would guess on before I started doing Harry Potter. There was this kid in my class that did. God, what are those books? The Hunting Dog. They were like this thin. They were like 20 pages long. They weren't worth shit.
Oh, Hank the Cow Dog.
Hank the Cow Dog. There it is. There was this kid and he was like, I mean, he was special. Mm. All right. He was a kicker and he was just real, you know, real country. And
just
he
let
just,
everybody know, a kicker is a shit kicker is
yeah,
what we're
yeah,
talking
yeah.
about here.
Redneck, like, yeah.
If you're not from the area.
His name was Dustin. Nice guy. Don't get me wrong. But man, like, he made me feel good about my book reading skills because I was like, wow, that's how you get your AR points. I don't know how I got off on the tangent. My bad.
You're fine.
Yeah. So that's how I got into enjoying books. And I did enjoy one series, The Lost Years of Merlin. I would have never read had we not had to read. You know what I mean? I'm just, and it's not that books are bad. Obviously, books tell a story, and we get a lot of movies from books because books can go into a lot more detail of what the character's thinking and everything like that. And you get to use your imagination to who that character is for you, what they look like, how they dress, everything, unless they're going to explicit details. But with books, I have a short attention span. I can read a page and I don't remember what I read. You know what I mean? And I have to read it again. I have to read things over and over again. And that's just not a fun way to do it. You want to go from page to page, being enthralled, just being like, wow, this is amazing. So, when I realized that books were being made into movies, you know, every single year, and I could just watch a truncated version of the book and it was more enjoyable, like Holes, for example, when I was a kid, I watched the movie. I got the gist of the book. All right. The only thing they got wrong in the movie that I understand, because I've never read the book, is that Stanley Yelnats was a chunky kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Shia LaBeouf wasn't, is Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
Right.
He didn't show commitment and got fat for the role. Piece of shit.
Yeah. What a piece of shit.
All right.
Now look at him. He's not famous anymore. That's piece right. of shit.
Still one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my goddamn life.
What, the bag over the head?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, when he rented out that room and just had people coming in and he was just crying.
Either the most genius or the craziest thing ever. But
it's the craziest. Either way,
it was hilarious.
Right. No, I agree. But genius would be Joaquin Phoenix for 2 years making people think that he was becoming a rapper and he was not being an actor anymore. Mm. And what's crazy is that nobody went and saw his movie, I'm Still Here. Right. I saw it. And, you know, it's a good mockumentary, I guess. It's not like something that's crazy memorable.
Right.
But there's people out there that think that he just went through a crazy phase, like Britney when she shaved her head. I'm like, nope, not the same thing. He knew exactly what he was doing. These are very precise moves.
I mean, I will say, just to harp on the book point just for a little bit longer, I feel like public education does a real terrible job of introducing people to reading.
No shit. They're even taking away cursive writing. Why would they make them read a book?
But, It's with mandatory reading that you have to do. I don't feel like those books that you mandatorily have to read throughout school are really that great of books to be doing it with.
Well, it's not even so much that they're not great books. Even if they are great books, by forcing a kid, anything, it can be dinner or anything, it doesn't matter what it is, by forcing a kid to do something, they automatically are opposed to it.
Right.
Right? So when you make them read about Boo Radley and shit, they don't want to. They do not want to. Hell, our English teacher showed us the movie of it, To Kill a Mockingbird. She didn't want to have us read it because she thinks it's a boring book too. She was like, this book's boring. I'm going to be honest with you. Hopefully this movie can keep your attention more. It's probably not going to because it's really old, but here it is. You know what I mean?
I mean, to be fair, and this is a big thing that I feel like a lot of people forget about literature is written for its time. Literature is not written for the future.
Right. It's 1984.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no. To Kill a Mockingbird was set back in the 50s.
Right, but what I'm saying is like 1984 kind of showed the future.
Right,
their kind of police future. But yeah, no, it was written for, it is a period piece.
Right. I mean, if you look at 1984 just as a by itself, when it came out back in the 60s, it was a big deal.
Right.
Okay. And I can only imagine what it was like to be in high school in the 70s and the 60s and having to be forced to read George Orwell's 1984 and have to question, hey, is this the
future? Did they even have to read it back then?
Yeah. My dad even told me that when he was in high school, he had to read it.
Yeah. And, they should update the books as they go along.
Right. And he graduated in 1980.
Yeah.
And so him being a senior 4 years away from this post-apocalyptic future that George Orwell thought it would be is crazy.
Right.
But I also had to read it when I was in high school, and I graduated in 2010, and I have a much different opinion than what he got when he read it back in the 80s, or 1980.
Right. Yeah, because, times have changed.
So that's an interesting idea, but at the same time, that book is not written for me. Mark Twain might be a great writer and whatnot, but his work is not meant for our time period.
Right. No, I agree. And like I said, look at the time difference between when the book came out and when it was being shown to kids. you don't just keep it for 30 more years and, you know, expect it to still stay relevant. You have to update the books accordingly. Books are still being written. Mm-hmm. You can find good books today. So go get one of those books that are impactful and kind of work it into the learning course. Instead, they're getting all the kids' Chromebooks and they're like, hey, we're going to have all your homework over here and you don't have to read anything. Don't worry.
Right. and like, not to hop on too much with the Mark Twain thing, but I mean, like, could you imagine? I remember when I was a kid, my mom.
Killer mustache. Yeah.
Right. my mom would read Huckleberry Finn to me every once in a while.
Really?
Could you imagine a mother nowadays reading the story of Huckleberry Finn to their kid and having to explain why racism was a fucking thing?
What are you talking? No.
Or why they're paddle boating up the Mississippi River for some reason.
Here's the thing. So my experience with Huckleberry Finn is the movie with JTT.
Okay.
All right. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, if you guys don't know.
Future president of the United States.
He's not even doing anything anymore, man.
I'm telling you, dude.
Okay. Anyway, so that was my first experience with it. And mothers these days are not reading their kids' books. They're taking pictures of their kids as they're asleep, and they put it on their Instagram and say, "My whole world." All right, that's what they're doing these days. They're not reading their kids' stories.
Yeah, I know. Imagine how many pictures of us there would be if our parents had smartphones back in the day.
Well, yeah, dude, my mom has a whole thing of VHS tapes of my baby videos, and it's so weird because she took a decent amount, you know, in my eyes. But I look at it now. And you see so much.
Right.
You see so much on Facebook, Instagram, you know, whatever other social media platforms have been out there, MySpace back in the day, where every single one of your kids, hell, our friend Rachel, awesome mom, but all of her kids' pictures are literally on Facebook. She created a separate Facebook page for Maverick so he can check out, I guess, all the stuff when he gets older, which is cool, but it's just such a weird change. And that
he should only have one friend, to be real fair there.
What do you mean?
It should be his mom. It's his only friend.
Oh, just the one friend. No, I think it's like a separate thing. It's like a page that she made one. Oh, okay. It wasn't like, yeah, he doesn't have like his own profile, I don't think. But no, and it's a really cool thing that they can do that kind of stuff because everything can be backed up. But it goes back to the book thing. Mm-hmm. Times change.
Right.
People do something different now than they did back in the day. So why do we harp on the past?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. There's just this, I guess this is the thing that they don't want to let go of. I mean,
It's like it's a sin to let go of it.
I don't want to get into societal problems, but we still have a bunch of baby boomers walking around saying that they're the greatest generation. And
oh, yeah, no, us. We messed it up, remember?
Yeah, we fucked it up. We, us.
Yeah, yeah, you fucked it up. Yeah, there's another movie quote. Actually, I don't even know what that's from.
That's from, I'm not even going to.
What? Oh, do you not remember?
I don't remember at the moment.
You fucked it up. I don't know. You continue. I'll figure it out. I do know this movie. I can see it in my head.
Anyway, so with them pushing so much importance on like books and stuff like that, I mean, again, I still find some books from the past very enjoyable because it just resonates with me. That's just how I am. Like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is still a great book to me. I enjoy it immensely. Charles Dickens is still one of my favorite authors of all time. But to be honest with you, those books are great for their time. They're not, if they came out today, nobody would give a shit. Nobody.
Real quick. So I did looked up the you fucked it up, and it's not the movie it's from, but there's a quote from The Big Lebowski. He goes, "He hung up. You fucked it up, Walter." It's my dirty undies, man.
Yeah, it's the ringer. But yeah, to get back to the original point here, I really think movies have become the future. I mean, even for how we used to use books, movies are still that. I'll give you a great example for a movie that came out recently, Ready Player One.
Still haven't seen it. I've heard so many good things about it.
The book,
good or bad?
The movie is enjoyable. I enjoy the movie. Again, I also read the book. I think the book was a fantastic... Let me rephrase that. I listened to the book, okay? I got an audiobook. But still enjoyed it. I had a great time with the book. And as a movie, I was a little disappointed in some things about it. But overall, I really enjoyed the movie. It also has a really good, cool feeling. Kind of like in Avengers Endgame, where they have the end fight scene where everybody shows up. In Ready Player One, they have that same thing, except it's all old video game characters all showing up for a big fight. And well, it's a super cool moment.
Yeah, and I saw the commercial with the Iron Giant. I was like, right. Whoa, what?
Yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic sequence that they have in there. But Ready Player One is all a satire, almost, about the future and how video games will eventually take over us because they're the most important thing to us by the most appealing thing to the general public. I mean, that's the direction we're going.
No,
I think.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Virtual reality, I think, is the future.
Yeah, 100%. If we don't fuck it up first, because the same thing with like 3D movies, you had the blue and red lenses, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't a good 3D experience. Mm-hmm. They finally get a 3D experience that works in the movie theater, and they ruin it. Because even James Cameron, and I will say good positive thing about James Cameron here, when Avatar came out, he goes, please, please, please do not lower the light of the projectors. Have them shine at max brightness. That way you get the best 3D effect. Same thing with VR. You get these cheap knockoff ones, these $20 ones from Walmart. You put your phone in it. You look around on the YouTube VR stuff and you go, oh, that's cool, but not cool enough. But it's undermining like the Vive and the Oculus that do an amazing job. I mean, I don't know which one we used at the mall that one time, but that was amazing. It was intense and it just drew you into, you forgot that you were standing in a box in the mall. You know what I mean? You're sitting there, the whales or whatever, mm-hmm. the whales are swimming by. And I was like, this is incredible.
Right.
It's awesome. Then they had the bow and arrow game.
Even scared the shit out of me.
No,
like,
yeah.
The whale popping out of nowhere. I mean, like.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit. Can I harpoon that thing?
Yeah. Can I kill it?
No, I agree. So if they do VR correctly, yes, it can be the future. Especially because that's not the first time they've done that sort of thing. Hell, in Batman Beyond, they touched on that sort of thing where you pay to be in this pod where you get to live this alternate life. You don't have to, or Surrogates, the movie Surrogates. You're this alternate person. You don't have to be you. You know what I mean? So you get to sit at home and be this huge fat shit and you're living this other world.
I mean, we talked about this in the last episode, but I'm going to harp on it just a little bit here with campaigns and video games. I honestly think we are 5 years away from a completely VR-built movie experience.
Well, like QuickTime events?
Kinda. You know how Netflix has come out with a couple of build-your-own-adventure movies?
Yeah, yes.
And they are kind of the way they are.
I mean, they're neat, right. Yes, but they're not immersive at all.
Right. Now, if you can add that into a great story where you can add it into a VR experience, I feel like it's the future of what movies would end up being. You know, it's a personalized experience for everybody.
No, that's fair. Because I did play watch. I don't know what, do you watch it or play it? I played the Black Mirror one, yeah. And it was neat. Your choices didn't matter too much because they still have to film every branch of the alternate stuff.
Right.
So your choices don't make that big of an impact because they're not going to film that much stuff. It makes a little bit of, roundabout noticeable difference, but it's not a huge deal. And the way they did it is that if you fucked up too many times, it reset the day and people just reacted a little bit different, which was kind of cool. But it was basically just multiple takes of the same thing said a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're able to pull it off with computer-generated graphics, computer-generated actors, and they just have voice actors come in there and shoot out some lines over and over again, and they can just put it over whatever,
mm-hmm.
it could work really, really well. A game like Until Dawn, very cinematic game. In fact, it's mostly a movie that you make choices every once in a while in.
Right.
Very rarely are you even moving around the character. Most of the time it's just showing you the different characters and then you make a choice. Like, hey, do you run for it or do you take the easy way? Do you take the hard way? And then it has quick time events.
I mean, kind of similar to the Telltale games.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. If they had like The Walking Dead, if they had a VR experience like that, oh man, I'm all over it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That would be amazing. You'd be so immersed in the world. Imagine they had a Harry Potter game like that. You know what I mean? You're getting to watch a whole new version of the Harry Potter world, but you're in control.
Right.
You get to make the choices.
And I mean, it's us showing the evolution of what
what the media is.
Yeah.
The medium.
And I think movies are going to turn into video games as video games keep on growing higher and higher. Because, honestly, video games themselves are becoming... They're becoming our new sports in a lot of way.
Oh, yeah. No, they have the esports. And then they're also becoming more widely accepted because you had a stint in the 90s where you had the Super Nintendo and the Genesis. And they were simple enough that parents could pick up and play with their kids. They were less likely to. But, you know, Mario, Sonic, stuff like that, you could play with your kid and it was simple to understand. Mm-hmm. You jumped, you ran forward, and you had a hit move. Mm-hmm. And then as they got more complicated, parents kind of fell out of it. And then now we're getting back to this point where we have mobile games. How many times, I mean, I know my mom sits there and plays like Bejeweled and stuff like that.
Right.
My uncle does too. He sits there and plays puzzle games.
There's another thing too that, I feel like is a big thing that's changing with it is back in the day when video games were first coming out, they were sold in toy aisles. There wasn't an electronics section because that shit didn't exist really.
Right.
I mean, there was TVs and everything like that, but you didn't have a whole like electronics section at Walmart that was existing at the time.
Correct.
So because they were in toy aisles, manufacturers had to decide whether they were boys' toys or girls' toys.
Okay.
And so video games became automatically boys' toys. They were just in the boys' aisle. That's how it was. And it was
geared towards boys. Yeah.
And gone that way. Now we're living in a day and age where it's trying to be pushed on everybody.
Oh, not yeah. It's transitioned really hard.
And there are, I mean, it still, the female amount of gamers there are out there isn't that huge.
It's not that huge, but I will say, I mean, I've been playing Sea of Thieves for the past year, mm-hmm. and I would say a good 10% or so of the pirates I've ran into are females. And it's surprising to see, not just a female character, but like, you know, I hear them on, you know, I hear their voice come on, and I'm like, you a girl? What's happening? You know what I mean? I'm still right. kind of in shock. I'm like, it's awesome. It's great because, you know, I can join in. But yes, you're right. When it comes to who they promoted to, it was mainly males. And I think it's going to take a whole nother generation for it to even itself out because you have to start from the beginning, from when you're growing up.
Well, because the people that are pairing up now, you know, getting married and having kids are from our generation who were mainly boys who were, video games were advertised to us, and the girls that we are with never really got into video games for that reason. I mean, for the most part, the girls that I know that play video games that are around our age only play video games because their brothers played video games.
That's fair.
That was the only reason.
Well, plus there's nothing geared towards them.
Right.
There's nothing. I mean, we have Madden that comes out every single year. That's a guy thing.
I mean, unless you're a girl that likes football, because football can be geared towards women too.
Sure.
There are plenty of girls out there.
They have J.J. Watt, and they go, ooh, J.J. Watt. You know what I mean?
That, I get how most Texans fans are, but
you got Kermit the Frog as your quarterback, you bastard.
All right, first of all, you don't talk shit about the Showtime.
God, we're going so far off. I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it. As long as you guys are cool with it. If you came here to listen about movies and you got video games, sorry, my bad.
But if you came here just to listen to us, we'll keep talking.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Right. But... With it like transitioning into a point where it's open gender, they're marketing towards everybody. It's not just, you know, to teenage boys. It's not the demographic.
Right. It's not the main demographic anymore.
Right. There are multiple demographics that they're going after.
Yeah, like a Fortnite. Jesus.
One of the biggest things that I think for video games to thrive is the communities need to grow as well. Not as in they need to get bigger, but they need to evolve a little bit.
Right.
Because it still doesn't matter if I get into a game that happens to have a girl in there. There will be some dude who wants to talk shit because it's a girl.
Yep.
And listen, it's just...
I've played Halo matches with a girl. It was way better than everybody else. Right. And we're like pissed off because she was a girl.
And the other stigma that you have to go, if you look at esports, the majority are males that are competing in esports. There's not a whole lot of women out there.
Nope.
Now, it's nothing against women. It's just they have better priorities than playing video games.
Yeah, and that's usually the thing. So, like, when I talk to Sarah, my girlfriend, she will sit there and...
I wouldn't say they're better because it's usually watching reality TV because that's geared towards them.
Right, and it's such a weird thing because I also like reality TV. I'm not going to lie. And I don't like to admit that, but she'll be watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I'm like, oh, God, we're watching this again. And then, like, halfway through an episode, I'm like, wait, whose baby is that? She's like, oh, this is her baby.
Real quick before we move on from this. I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians the other day with Heather because she likes to watch it. She just had it on and I was waiting to go to work.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching it. And you know Kim Kardashian's always at other people's places? I'm pretty sure she's homeless. Like, whenever she goes to somebody else's house, it's like, oh, Kim's here. Like, every single shot. And I'm like, does she have a home? Like,
yeah, she could, but she doesn't want to go home. She's married to Kanye West.
Well, he's not there.
Imagine having to deal with that though.
I couldn't.
You're sitting there and he's like, yeah, this conversation would be a lot better if we had DMT. And you'd be like, what the fuck, man? Do you always do DMT? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on the flip side of that, imagine being Kanye having to deal with Kim.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, you know, it's so weird because apparently, and this is me watching that show. I didn't know. So she has three kids right now. Oh. And Jesus. She has a surrogate that's having twins for her. So she's going to have five kids. Okay. And that just blows my mind. Cause my girlfriend was talking about it, about her different kids' names, which are all stupid. Do you know her kids' names?
No.
Okay. Cause there's one that's Northwest. I know that. And then there's like Gemini the West or something. Let me see. One second. But apparently the last kid almost killed her during childbirth. You know what I mean? It just took a toll on her body. Mm-hmm. So you know what that tells me as a person?
You shouldn't have more kids.
Stop having children. Mm-hmm. Not, let's give the job to somebody else.
I mean, I have a huge problem with humans having litters.
Yeah, I know. And I think we're on the same thing. Okay, so here they are. Northwest, Saint West, and Chicago West. Those are her kids' names. She should not be a parent. Okay. Like the Northwest thing was kind of funny. But it's not cool to do that to a kid. Mm. What's your name? Northwest. You know what I mean? Like, and then you have Chicago West and Saint West. What's your name? Saint. Your name is Saint. Yeah, it's Saint. You got a problem with that? Father's name's Kanye. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's pretty much making
those kids grow to be douchebags.
Right. And they're well off.
Right.
So because they're going to be extra douchebags. Right.
Kim and Kanye.
Right, because Kanye is a musical genius. I don't care how crazy he is. His beats go hard. And Kim sucked dick on camera. All right? Seen the video.
Yeah.
Pretty good, I guess.
Ray J.
Yeah, Ray J, dude. I still like the Twitter battle where he like called out. I think it was Reggie Bush at the time. It might have been Kanye. But he was like, she did it to me first, dog. And I'm like, yo, trying to stay relevant, huh, Ray J? Crazy motherfucker.
I mean... That's the main reason why people saw the sex tape in the first place, because it was Ray J's sex tape. Right. It wasn't Kim Kardashian's sex tape.
Yeah, nobody cared. And then they're like, who's this girl with this fat ass?
It wasn't like One Night in Paris. Well, I mean, it was a different thing.
I'm just glad that transitioning back to movies, I am so glad that those people, the Kardashians, have not gone mainstream in the sense that they haven't gone into movies. Mm. They have their own show and they're confined to their own show. Right, they get featured every once in a while on not Jimmy Kimmel, James Corden. Right, they did the food challenge table with him, and I watched all those, and those are entertaining. But you can see Chris is like the mother that just makes all their decisions for them. It seems like she's like, yeah, you don't tell them anything about this. You better eat that donkey dick or whatever the hell it was on the table. But I'm so glad because you have these other people that don't belong in the medium. That go into movies. Ronda Rousey, you know, when she was in Fast and the Furious, she was horrible. She makes sense for UFC. She's a badass fighter. Then she goes over to be a wrestler. Tell me, Tim, as a wrestling fan, do you think she's a good actor when she's wrestling? Because I would say that all the wrestlers are better actors than Ronda Rousey. And she's a professional fighter, man.
As a performer, She's great in the ring. She does her part super well. You know, she knows how to sell. She knows how to do her moves. And she knows how to be that presence in the ring. And it's very convincing. Flip side, she is easily one of the most overrated promo givers I've ever heard in my life. She cannot talk on a microphone. And one thing that really, really bothered me about her is... You guys get the idea. I mean, I'm not going into why wrestling is the way it is or anything like that. But there's a certain part of wrestling where you're playing a character. You're not Ronda Rousey.
Right.
Ronda Rousey. You are the baddest woman on the planet right now. You are not.
Right. Dwayne Johnson plays The Rock.
Right. Yeah. But when she would come to the ring and she'd be in this feud with some bitch that just like thinks that she is just some washed up UFC fighter that can't do anything. That's why she had to leave it and come be a wrestler. Usually how all of her feuds went.
Really?
Kind of. Yeah. They would bash her for having to leave the UFC and shit like that.
You'd like, be like, hey, you couldn't even make it as a real fighter. You had to come join an entertainment sport.
Right. They would do shit like that all the time. And she would come to the ring smiling like it's the best day on the planet. Even though she's about to go beat the shit out of somebody, she should have a serious face on.
Right.
She's totally out of character. That was one of the biggest things about her performance that I had a problem with. She wanted to pander to the audience sometimes, and because of that, it made an unbelievable character.
That's fair.
And that's one of the things that I have a problem with her. Like, because anything, I mean, I'll say this, it's not just wrestling, it's anything. Anything in this world that can entertain you deals with one thing in particular, and it's immersion. If it can immerse you in this world where you can believe it's real while you're doing it, it's going to get you.
That's 100% fair.
You're going to be into it no matter what. And wrestling is just like that. If you can buy in, if you are immersed into it, you believe it.
Yeah,
you go for it.
Trust me, dude. I lived through the 90s, man.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan was my dude.
Yeah.
All right. So I lived through, the some would call it the peak of wrestling, mm-hmm. where you had the different factions, man. You had WCW, WWF. Oh, no. Is it WWE?
It's now WWE.
Okay, now it's WWE. So it's WWF.
Yeah, and they had to WCW. Change it because the World Wildlife Foundation was like, yo, we're not wrestling pandas over here.
Is that really how it worked?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was the World Wildlife Foundation.
I thought they changed it because they combined them. Didn't WCW get...
They did combine them, but they changed it for the World Wildlife Foundation thing.
I got you.
It had nothing to do with combining them.
You know, speaking of wrestlers turning to actors, Hulk Hogan, let's go back to him. don't get upset.
He's a terrible actor.
Yeah, no. Have you seen his movies?
I've seen a couple of them. There's only one that I really watched when I was a kid, and it was Three Ninjas. I think it was Three Ninjas 3, Return to Mighty Mountain or something like that.
Wait,
I don't remember.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. No. I was thinking, was it The Nanny? Not The Nanny. What was it?
I don't know.
Oh, man. I got to look it up now. God, his top four movies that he's been in is Rocky 3.
Right.
No Holds. What is this? No Holds Barred. That face. My God. Suburban Commando. Mm. Sounds awesome.
That might be your nanny movie there.
And Gremlins 2. You think it was?
It might be.
Suburban Commando. It could be.
Read your description.
It says the Wilcoxes were leaving or were having some.
You have a better description than that.
What do you mean look at?
Just pull it. Good. Get out of that picture. Bam. Right there.
This one?
Yeah.
Nope. This isn't it. Immediately not it. An interstellar hero from a distant world visits Earth and tries to fit in with the mundane yet kind suburban family.
Mm.
That's not it.
It could be. You don't know.
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie in a million years. I'm going to say it's not because that's weird. God damn. He was in a lot of this is WCW. Oh, NWO. Remember that?
Yeah, the New World Order.
God.
Revitalized his career.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain. I can't believe that was... You know, the 90s were really weird for movies.
I don't care what anybody says. I love the Three Ninjas series, okay? It was...
I didn't know great. There was multiple ones. I thought it was just Three Ninjas, man.
Nah, I love it.
Wait, real quick. So Three Ninjas was the one where the kid had a Game Gear and like could like mess, like make people do stuff, right?
I don't believe so.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
They were three ninjas. Their grandfather taught them how to...
They had the cool masks?
No.
Okay. Nah, there's a movie.
They might have had masks at one point, but I don't recall that.
Okay, wait up. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to tell you. Three ninjas. Because I feel like this is it, right?
Yep, three ninjas? That is three ninjas.
That is a horrible poster.
Well, you know, it was the 80s.
Is it the 80s or the 90s?
When it
1992.
Say, oh, well, great. It was 1992. I was one.
Yeah, this is not the movie I'm thinking of, I don't think. I'm going to look up Ninja and see what comes up.
Ninja, please.
Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go. Go, Ninja. Ninja go, Ninja, Ninja. Go. 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 Vanilla Ice was the 90s.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ninja 90s kid movies. Let's look that up. Let's see what comes up with that. So it says Three Ninjas is the top rated one. Yo, this has to be it. Surf Ninjas. What is Surf Ninjas? Maybe this is the one I'm thinking of. There's so many different things. Is that Rob Schneider? It is. What is this? I need to see this movie.
I'm good. I'm good on that.
It came out a year after your Sacred movie came out.
Sacred?
Didn't you just say it was... Oh, you just liked them.
Yeah.
They're not sacred movies.
Yeah, no. I understand they're bad movies. If you watch them, they're not great.
Dude, 90s kids movies, in general, bad movies.
Yeah.
But at least they were live action, because I did like that, you know, kids could actually watch live action stuff. Nowadays, it has to be animated or it's nothing.
Right.
Like Frozen made $1 billion. You never would have seen that with Ernest Scared Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie, though.
Who was it? I thought I saw a meme the other day of somebody saying that John Cena is slowly turning into Ernest.
Yeah, I saw the picture and I was like, oh my God.
If he just loses all the muscle.
He needs to get the voice though. He's like, no!
He could do it.
Dude, I'd be down to watch the remake to all the Ernest movies. Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Saves Christmas. Ernest Saves Christmas is terrible. It's hard to watch, but they remake it with John Cena.
Here's a question for you. Since The Rock has done so fantastic throughout his career, do you think John Cena will ever get to that? Having the same kind of beginnings as The Rock?
No.
No?
I mean, it depends who you... I mean, he's in a different kind of role right now. He's at the beginning of The Rock's roles.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a cameo role in Trainwrecked. He was in Daddy's Home 2.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Cockblocked. It was pretty funny in Cockblocked. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, he was in...
But he finally... That was his first starring role, isn't it?
Well, I think one of his first roles was Date Night. He was the drug dealer in Date Night.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I just remember Mark Wahlberg answering the door in this towel.
Well, maybe it wasn't Date Night. I'm trying to remember. He was a drug dealer in something.
I'll look
it
up.
It was hilarious. But, I mean, he's had the smaller roles, and he's starting to get bigger ones. I mean, he was in Transformers. He was in Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah. 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 I hadn't seen it, so I didn't know. I didn't think of that. Let's see. John Cena.
I mean, he had that animated movie, Ferdinand.
He was in 12 Rounds.
12 Rounds?
Yeah. He was trying to do that action hero stuff. The Marine.
Yeah.
But how do we forget about these movies?
The Marine was a WWE movie. They made six of them.
Okay, so.
The Miz does them now.
Upcoming movies on IMDb for him. Okay.
Okay.
2021, The Suicide Squad. So are they remaking it? It's not going to be Suicide Squad 2?
No.
It's The Suicide Squad?
I wonder who's playing Suicide Squad.
I don't know, because it has... Maybe
he's playing Slipknot.
No, well, check this out. So they have Joel Kinnaman and Margot Robbie coming back as Rick Flag and Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. But the other people on there are Idris Elba and John Cena. And, Jai Courtney's coming back. I'm sorry. David Datchmane is playing Polka Dot Man.
Mm.
So James Gunn's going to have a lot of fun just digging into the deep barrel of bad superhero or bad supervillains in DC lore.
Well, but, I mean, the Suicide Squad has a lot of members, to be real fair. Right.
No.
And they always change because it always depends on who's in the prison.
Yo, if this is going to actually come out, John Cena is going to be the biggest name ever for me. There is a Duke Nukem movie in development.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing
about that.
Duke Nukem.
I heard about that. Yeah. I'm very excited.
How's
for
he going to do the voice,
it?
Man?
He can totally do it. I believe in him.
I'm down for that. Apparently, he's going to be in Fast and Furious 9, a movie called Playing with Fire, Voyage of Doctor.
Tell me The Rock and John Cena are going to be in a movie together.
The Rock, Vin Diesel, and John Cena are going to be in a movie
Imagine
together.
Imagine that fight. So many walls are going to come down.
Yeah, so many thin paper walls are just going to be broken
So much
through.
Concrete's just going to crumble before them. It's going to be crazy.
That's going to be weird. Yeah, you're right.
The world might break.
Oh, yeah, Ferdinand, the bull in the china shop thing.
Yeah.
Daddy's Home 2. Shouldn't spend this much time talking about John Cena. He's not that important, right? I mean, I love John Cena.
First of all, Cena is important.
John Cena is a weird transition. I will say this. Let's put this out on the table. I didn't like John Cena because he was a wrestler. John Cena, in my eyes, when he first came out into the scene, he was a lot like Kurt Angle. Just kind of boring to me. He didn't have anything special about
him. Talking about as a wrestler?
Not as a... Like, when he was trying to expand himself, he as a wrestler reminded me.
Kurt Angle didn't do shit when it came to acting.
No, but that's what I'm trying to say. As a wrestler, he just seemed like the boring, cutting edge guy. Instead of wearing red, white, and blue spandex, he wore shorts. Like jorts. the long shorts. So he wasn't that. He wasn't on my radar. You know what I mean? I was just like, I don't care about this guy. Because like The Rock was transcendent because for me, I grew up with The Rock watching wrestling. So when he transitioned to movies, I was like, one more thing. But his movie career didn't start very well because it started with The Scorpion King, didn't it?
Right.
And that was...
But Mummy 2, but he played Scorpion
King. Well, no, that's what I mean. Him as the Scorpion King.
Right.
When you see the giant animated Scorpion King and it was the stupidest, worst looking thing ever.
I still enjoy the movie.
I still enjoy it because it's one of those fun Indiana Jones type feeling movies. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just a fun movie. So I agree. I still enjoy the movie. But when it started on a rocky note, you know what I mean? See what I did there? His name's The Rock. It started on a rocky note.
Honestly, I don't feel like he found his footing until The Rundown.
Wrong, because Walking Tall came out before The Rundown.
No, it Rundown didn't? Came out first.
Okay, well, then he found his footing in Walking Tall still. All right, because Walking Tall, I was like, this guy's got some acting chops. I believed every part of that movie that, you know, he was this guy that got beaten down and then just kicked ass.
I mean, yeah, I
do enjoy The Rundown. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy The Rundown.
I have no problem with watching Walking Tall. It's not a movie I watch all the time, to be honest with you. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while. And The Rundown is also one that I haven't seen in a while either. But I think that's where The Rock kind of found his footing. And he was able to transition to these other roles that he's done. And now, looking at the roles that he does, I mean, he did Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart, which was...
Right. Really funny movie.
Huge. And it blew up huge. Everybody loved that movie.
You know, I really enjoyed it.
And then Baywatch, I mean, I know there's opinions on it.
I enjoyed it. Yes, I enjoyed it. But trying to watch it with somebody else, it was almost like, why did I enjoy this again? Mm-hmm. But if you're just like guilty pleasure, like just watching it by yourself, it's a really fun movie.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that took me out of the movie was the boat scene where it's on fire and it's like obviously fake flames.
Right.
But no, overall, the movie is really fun. And Zac Efron's another actor that's coming to his own. I saw him High School Musical. I was like, fuck that guy. And then... he got buff, and somehow he's like the first dude to be crazy buff and really funny. Well, I don't know. It's weird.
I never watched High School Musical.
I didn't either, but I knew of him from High School Musical.
The one that got me was 17 Again. I didn't like him at all.
Was that Chandler Bing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's with Matthew Perry, and he became...
Yeah, Chandler Bing.
Yeah, I get what you're trying to refer to.
Friends reference.
Yeah, I get it. And it's Ms. Chandler Bing.
Yeah, that's where his magazine comes into, yeah. The name it comes under.
Mm-hmm. His TV guide.
Yeah. Was it the TV guide? Yes. Mrs. Chandler Bing.
Talk about a dated reference. What the hell is a TV guide?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I guess they don't. Do they send those out anymore? I'd have to ask Luke's mom.
I don't even know if there's a TV guide channel anymore.
There is for Dish, but it's not TV guide. It's Dish's own thing of like what's going on.
I remember back in the day when I would watch the TV Guide channel, just like looking through the channels, like,
dude,
what's on?
No, I was so pissed because, you know, when it used to have an ad at the top and it had the little scroller and then somebody would get your attention, you'd come back to see what was on that channel and it missed it and you go, fuck, and you have to wait for it to scroll back around.
Yeah.
God, man, we lived in a really weird age because we saw the transition of media and electronics. Because we had VHS tapes. We had to fucking rewind it. Otherwise, we got charged more by the video store when we took it back.
I had Betamax tapes in my house.
Oh, no, we didn't have Betamax. The one thing I wanted and I never got was Laserdisc. Because I went to one of my mom's friend's house. We spent the night at her house. And I watched the first Mission Impossible on Laserdisc. And man, the picture quality was insane. And I was like... yo, what is this again? This ain't a VHS. This is a giant thing. It's like this, you know, at the time, I didn't know of DVDs. I was a kid. So I saw this giant disc. It was just a giant CD to me. And I was like, what is this? And she's like, be careful with that. That's a movie. And I'm like, this is a movie? And I put it in and watched Mission Impossible. I'd never seen, I want to say Mission Impossible 2 might have been out. I don't know if it was around that time. But Mission Impossible was obviously out on movie. You know, you could buy it. Mm-hmm. And I watched it and I was like, this is incredible. I want a Laserdisc. And then like that Christmas, mom got a DVD player with Forever Young, which, fun story real quick, last little rant.
Go ahead.
Forever Young was the first DVD I ever watched. Okay. I thought it was new at the time. A few months later, Lord of the Rings came out and I freaked the fuck out that Elijah Wood was a child in Forever Young and was a full-blown adult in...
I wouldn't say full-blown. He was a half person.
He wasn't even a half. And they showed him like the scale. He's like a third of Gandalf's size.
They called him a halfling, so...
Yeah, that's fair. Well, Gandalf might have been crazy tall also because he was wizard. Yeah, but no, yeah, that was one of the... Just a nice little fun experience growing up, like seeing that and like, wait. Movies can come out at different times?
Yeah.
Because in my eyes, it's an older movie. It belongs on VHS. It doesn't need to be on DVD. But, you know, now looking at it, I'm like, well, of course you want to update your collection or whatever.
But yeah. I mean, we have seen so much technology change.
Yeah, we used to play in the arcades. And we were the last generation that played in arcades.
And to be fair, I think, you know, we're at the end of some technological advancements that a lot of people aren't really thinking about. Like, how much better can cell phones truly get?
They can get to the point where they're a cinema for your eyes. We still haven't got there. We still haven't got, have you gotten to the point where you can pull out your phone and watch a full movie and enjoy it just as much as if you were watching on a 55-inch TV with a soundbar?
I mean, for the reason that I would need to be in a room with no other sounds going on, yes, I can say I enjoy it.
You can sit down and watch in a full movie. Now, for the first time. Not a movie that you've seen before and you're just rewatching it because you like the movie.
I mean, there's no real reason why I would do that.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Like
they can get to that point.
Propose the idea of where that would come.
VR.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about propose the idea of where I'm trying to watch a full movie on my phone. Why am I doing that?
Because, I guess, yeah. You're saying it doesn't need to be that way.
Right.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean... Advancements are going to slow down, okay?
No, they already have.
Right.
That's why people are slowly not upgrading their phone anymore, because the phones from 3 years ago are perfectly serviceable now.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they need to upgrade it? That's why people like Apple and stuff like that need to upgrade their phones to where they have easier battery replacements so people can just have their phone and enjoy it.
Right.
They don't have to worry about having to upgrade every year, every 2 years. They can just have their phone and enjoy it. But for me, as a cinema lover, I want to be able to watch my movies wherever I'm at on any device I have and enjoy it, because like the iPhone has come a long way. So now they have stereo speakers. So it's a lot easier to enjoy a movie on my 10R than it was to enjoy it on the 4, you know what I mean? Or the 5, you know, the single bottom firing speaker was so easy to cover up, you know, and you're sitting there trying to watch it on this tiny screen. It's just not going to happen. And I think that's where people are really intrigued with like the Samsung Galaxy Fold, you know, foldable phones. You have this somewhat small package and then you open it up and it's a 7-inch screen.
Well, then, I mean, they've tried to do it in multiple different ways. They had the phone, I can't remember which one it was, but that had the projector built into it.
Yeah. I wanted one.
I mean,
I think it was Sanyo that actually made that.
Really?
Like, yeah, no, I wanted one. I thought it was so cool.
I mean, it's a cool idea and I'm sure it wasn't poorly implemented.
Oh no, it was. It was like I think the resolution was like 360p or something like that. But it didn't matter. You got it, you know, you're not making it a 50-inch screen.
Right.
You know, you're doing, you know, 30 inches or something like that. You have a full size TV that you get to watch your stuff on. But then again, the audio still sucked at the time that phone came out, because that was a few years back now. The audio still sucked.
I mean, but with the advancement that we have, like just in Bluetooth technology itself.
Oh yeah. No, you can have a Bluetooth. Look
I
at my
sound bar it up and
dude, look at my little Polk Audio Swimmer, little waterproof speaker. I use that to listen to the podcast while I'm in the shower. That thing sounds amazing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'd use that over my laptop speakers, my phone speakers, anything. That thing sounds great and punchy.
Right.
So yeah, you're right. Yeah, if you just, you have that, your phone.
It's all about accessories
boom.
At that point.
Yeah, and then you got
And that really is more the advancement you're seeing nowadays, is more in accessories rather than more advancements in the cell phones.
Oh no, for sure. And but like, pocket projectors, I really thought were going to be the future.
Yeah.
Especially, again, as a fan of film, I was like, man, if I had a pocket projector and no matter where I went, I could watch my movies or TV shows. Because you know me, I like to go to sleep to something I've seen a million times.
Mm-hmm.
I will watch 51st Dates, The Wedding Singer. I'll watch it and just fall asleep to it because I love the movie so much. So how awesome would it be is if I went camping or whatever, or if I went to Galveston, you know what I mean, and they don't have... you know, whatever, we're not staying in a hotel, you know, whatever it may be, I can put the projector on, listen to it, you know, have some Bluetooth headphones, Mm-hmm. Huh? You know what I mean? You got some Bluetooth headphones. Sarah's watching something on the TV. I can be sitting there watching my own thing on my pocket projector. Mm-hmm. But they are crazy expensive because, like, even the cheapest ones are like $250.
Yeah.
And that's a little out of my range for something I'm not going to use every single day.
I mean, hell, to get a 4K projector nowadays, I mean, I think minimum is like $500, I've seen.
Yeah, but those are cheap. Right.
Not getting brightness. You're not getting your full resolution. If you want an actual decent one, you got to spend at least $1,500.
Right. And it sucks because I've seen a couple that were like upwards of 5K, you know, going higher. And like, I'm like, you're getting into like movie theater territory,
right,
for spending on one projector. You know what I mean? I'm like, you can just go buy a TV that's going to be brighter just because of the light source. It's going to be brighter. It's going to have better speakers generally. You know, everything is set up in the TV. It's just a one thing. You go buy that and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I have a 55-inch TV right there. Costs $300. You know what I mean? So why, you know what I mean? They don't give you a reason, but I've always had a thing. I think it might be a movie theater obsession. I've always had a thing with projectors. I love projectors. I think there's like a quality, it's kind of like film to digital, even though they are digital. When they transitioned, you know, you remember back in the day watching a movie that has been out for a couple of weeks, there was degradation in the film. As you were watching, you'd see little spots, you know, if they had like a full white screen or something like that, you'd see little spots up in the sky and it was just the film, you know, just sitting there dissolving underneath the hot light.
You know, I still miss the old little cigarette burn in the right corner of the film to let the projectionist know you got to change the reel soon.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was...
They put a little cigarette burn right through the film?
No, the cigarette burn, it's a reference to Fight Club. But no,
there'd be a
black dot that would pop up in like a corner of the screen. And that was
they knew to switch it over real quick. Right. And see, and that was a skill. That's another thing, you know, people talk about how Walmart is getting rid of the cashier. You have to check yourself out and then there's just one person that walks around like eight machines. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. But they don't talk about something that I wanted to do as a kid. I wanted to become a projectionist. I thought it was a really cool thing.
I was right there with you.
Yeah. The projection room I've always fantasized about. I still want to see what they have going on today. I want to know if they just like plug in a USB stick, like here's Endgame, yeah. You know? But yeah, with film, it's like a lost art. You know what I mean? And transitioning, cause there's still some filmmakers today. I want to say it's Quentin Tarantino. I don't want to lie, but I think it's Quentin Tarantino. He says he refuses to give up film. He will never shoot on digital. There's people that are like that. They want to shoot on film. There's something inherently better about film than digital. And I get it. When I shoot, I like photography. I like the look of 35mm film over digital. I've never seen a digital camera where I'm like, it has life to it. It looks great. Don't get me wrong. We've come so far that visually it looks better than film. But there's just something about the graininess and the look of film.
It looks real.
Right. That it feels palpable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And but there's limitations. You only got about 25 to 30 shots per roll of film. And then you had to switch them out. And then you had to, you know, process them in a dark room, all this different stuff.
Right.
Where digital, it's instant satisfaction. You know what I mean? It's instantly there. You have it. You upload it to Instagram and you say, my world.
Or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever you're going to put. You're going to put a Mark Twain quote on your beach trip.
Yeah. I mean, I wish that, you know, we wouldn't advance so much in some things because I feel like, you know, the quicker it advances, the more room there is for failures.
Well, in a lot of mediums, people try to hold on to the past. There's a whole crew that try to hold on to 35mm film. If you go into a music store, like a dedicated music, like go to Guitar Center, they still have vinyl.
Right.
Vinyl's been outdated for years, but people still like the sound that vinyl gives you, just that authenticity of the music. And I agree. I mean, hell, my mom has an Adele record at her house, and I listen to it, and I like Adele because of that record. I don't particularly like Adele, but listening to her on a vinyl, I'm like, this has some like heart and soul to it for some reason. And I can't tell you what it is and you can't reproduce it digitally. And it's insane.
Right.
But it's a really cool, thing. And I hope that people never give it up because I'm afraid that it's just the people that experienced it when they were younger that have held on to that sort of thing that once the next generation comes, because there's a whole generation that hasn't seen a CRT TV.
Right.
You know, there's generation that just thinks
they make that joke in the Grown Ups.
No, do they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What's on the back of the TV? TV? Yeah. Yeah. No.
That's the rest of the TV.
Yeah. So little things like that, and you go, wow, that's insane. And that's one of the reasons I got obsessed with microphones. Microphones really haven't changed that much.
No.
I was looking there. You can buy an SM7B, which is just a little change. It came out in 2000, but the SM7 was the microphone that Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on. You know what I mean? It has not changed that much in 50 years.
Right.
And that's crazy to me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You just knocked over everything on the table.
Wow.
I don't know. This has been a great episode. I actually really like the tangents we went on.
Yeah.
Sorry that we didn't talk about movies too much on this one, but you know, we kind of just let it flow.
We came back to it. We
bounced around. Yeah. We bounced around a little bit.
We didn't like leave movies behind altogether.
And we're definitely not leaving movies behind in this next segment. So we are going to play for the very first time here on this episode, 6 Degrees of Separation with Tim and I. So each one of us is going to pick an actor. You explain the rules real quick.
So as we did at the beginning of the episode, me and him will both pick an actor, and you guys will listen to us. I guess think it out. It'll probably be the best way to go. Usually it's a very quiet process, but I don't feel like that'd be a great listening experience.
Right. So what we're going to do is I'm gonna cut the part that we are thinking. I'm gonna leave about 10 seconds blank. So you understand the part where we're thinking about it. And if you want to, you can pause and think with us, and you can take as long as you want because you have all the time in the world to listen to it.
Right.
So you can take as long as you want and try to get from actor to actor using movies to other actors. Just chain them together and count how many moves it takes you. So each actor you get to is a move, each next actor. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
each movie is a move.
Right. So each movie in between each actor is a move, and you count those up, and you want to do it in less than six moves or less. Mm-hmm. And if you can do it in less moves than Tim or I will give you a shout out on the next episode. So let's
probably me. Don't focus on trying to beat Holiday. It's pretty easy to do.
All right. So who's your actor, Tim?
Kevin Costner.
Natalie Portman.
Okay.
All
right. Sounds fantastic.
All right, so we're going to start now. All right, I got mine. Do you have yours?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so I'm going to start because I'm assuming mine's going to be longer than yours. I don't know. So Kevin Costner is in... I already forgot mine.
Man of Steel.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Kevin Costner is in Man of Steel with Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne is in Ant-Man and the Wasp with Paul Rudd.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Rudd is with Natalie Portman in Endgame. Boom, 3 moves.
Great. So Kevin Costner was in Tin Cup with Rene Russo. Rene Russo was in Thor 2 The Dark World with Natalie Portman.
Son of a bitch. 2 moves. Congratulations.
2 moves.
Well, you can't beat Tim, but if you beat me, I will still give you guys a shout out. So that is a great way to end this show. We're going to be doing this sort of game, or actually this game in particular, on every single episode because we enjoy it and we think it's a great way to interact with the audience and get you guys to enjoy one of our favorite pastimes and do this with your family. I mean, if they have any type of movie knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I play this game with my family when we have our group togethers because it's just a fun game. We actually play a different version, but...
Right, yeah, it's harder to do this.
Right, but, I mean, it's just something... We all enjoy movies, so we all kind of have a base general understanding of, you know, hey, this is my genre, these are the actors that I know, this is where I can kind of play.
And we're assuming if you listen to this podcast, you also enjoy movies. Even though this particular podcast wasn't completely about movies... You listen to us because you like movies or you just like to hear us talk, whatever it is. So we're going to end the segment and the show here today, and we will see you guys on the next episode. You want to say anything?
Stay alive.
Is that going to be your thing? Is it stay alive at the end of episodes?
Who knows, man?
Okay.
They just need to stay alive, you know? We can't have viewers if they're dead.
Yeah, that is true. So stay alive, guys.